I grew up back in the holler there. And my dad was a county drunk. Every bar in the county knew him. Every bar knew him by name. When my dad got saved, two bars in McKean County, Pennsylvania closed. And neither one of them's a bar today. One of them, the barkeep got saved, his wife got saved, he became a deacon in church. They sold the building and burned the liquor license. In the state of Pennsylvania, the liquor license goes with the building, so they can never, ever, ever put a bar back in that building. He made sure of that. But I got saved, like I said earlier, I was the first tailor to ever be saved in my clan. And boy, people didn't want to get around me, they didn't want to talk to me, because they knew they were going to get preached to. I still got some relatives that think I think I'm holier than thou, but they don't know what I think. I think I'm worse than thou. Like Paul said, the chiefest of sinners, that's the way I view me. Because I got to live with me. Mm-hmm. But I joined the United States Air Force because back in when Jimmy Carter's day, things were bad like they are now. And of course, Smiling Jimmy wanted to tell everybody it was good like the man in there now does. But they weren't. So I joined the Air Force just because I knew I had steady income. And I went to North Carolina. I had been witness to a man that went to Brother Haynes' church over here in Chilhouse. House. He was over there. He first had gotten there. He hadn't been there that long. Man's name was Kane Bell. He witnessed to me. He even led me in the sinner's prayer. But I did not get saved. I said that prayer, and beloved, sure as I'm sitting here, I didn't get any more saved than the church chair you're sitting on. I went deeper into sin. I became twofold more the child of hell. I got more vile. I got more wicked. I got more evil. If the world said drink it, I drank it. Eat it, I ate it. Smoke it, I smoked it. The only thing I never did was shoot a needle. I would not. I don't like needles. I've overcome some of that. They can draw blood out of me now, but that's about it. But I just never liked needles. So I never did that. I don't say all that to brag on what I was. I'm just telling you what I was. Matter of factly, so you can see what God's done. But my wife left me. I got to the point where I actually woke up in my own bond. And there was nothing I could do. I didn't have strength enough to even roll over. If my wife had not rolled me over, I would have drowned in my own bond. And that's the first time I've ever said that. I don't blame my wife for leaving. I was tough, folks. I tried to leave and couldn't figure out how. I was miserable. Because there's turmoil in my soul.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And before my wife left, she had a Stanley Home party. You may not know what that is. It's kind of like a Tupperware party, only it's different products. Ladies from Baptist Church there in town, we lived on the base. They had a bus route, came on the base, and she asked my wife, she said, would you like to send your kids to church in Sunday school? My wife, even back then, is a lost woman. She was a submissive woman. She said, well, I've talked to my husband about it. So she came to me and asked me what I thought. I said, oh, great, you know. It's a good deal, man. Send them to church. So I sent them to church and on the bus. That faithful bus worker, his name was Denver Trumley. He's retired Air Force. And every Saturday morning he'd show up. If it was raining, he wore his Air Force slicker. I mean, he was just Air Force through the loop. Came in every Saturday morning. He'd knock on my door, ask me if the girls were going. At that time, we had two, Christy and Tracy. And they loved Tracy. She had little red curls, you know, all down her back. And she was a real bouncy kid. Christy, she was just a sweetheart. They loved them. So they come and get them, take them to church, you know, and come back every Saturday. And then my wife left. Our family was falling apart. There was nothing I could do to help. My dad always taught me to work and pay the bills, which I was doing as a drunk. I became a drunk just like my dad, but I became a dopehead on top of it in the United States Air Force. Dope was bad when I went in. Vietnam brought a lot of dope into our country, and that's when I went in. At the end of it. And so I was getting worse and worse, and when she left, Denver Trumley kept coming. He wouldn't give up. every Saturday morning. Knocked on my door. I did everything in my power to discourage that guy from coming back. I mean, I cussed him out. I blew smoke in his face. I mean, I'd meet him with both hands full. And I'd do everything I could trying, nope, I don't want that guy coming around me. But you see, folks, and maybe one of you sitting here tonight, you think you don't want nobody around you, but that's not so.
Oh, yes.
That's not so.
Try it.
Inside, there's something crying out.
Yes, sir. Yep.
But you don't know how to respond. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to respond. I just figured if people stayed away from me, I was okay. I've run across people on the street. I've run across people up in Canada, even in Tim Hortons and different places, and go up and witness to them and start crying. I mean, they got studded collars around here, black makeup, and I'm talking about males, and look like in women, and they start crying, and they tell me the story about how, you know, you saw right through me. I dress like this, and I do this, keep people away, because it repulses people. So I was doing things trying to repulse people, but what I really wanted was somebody to see through it. Somebody to say, hey, I've got the answer for your needs.
Yes.
And Denver Trompley was that man. He never gave up. Every Saturday. Finally, March the 7th, 1981, I said, I know I got the answer. I'll fix his wagon. I'm going to disappear. I won't be here when he comes. So I did, man. I got up early. I got all the stuff done I wanted to get done. I got in my car and I went down to the mall, the big Goldsboro Mall. It's about like the Bradford Mall, you know, or now what's left of the Olean Mall. It wasn't even hardly that big. And I just sat there at the little center fountain. I sat there all day long. Just watched and stared at people with a great big emptiness in here, with my life crashing down around me, and there was nothing I could do. My wife gone, my family gone. Everything I knew, and the Air Force, I even got so far gone, the Air Force confined me to quarters. Now, in civilian terms, that means you go home and stay there, and you don't leave the house until you get this thing straightened out. Now, when they do that, they're supposed to fill out paperwork and post a guard at the door, but they didn't do that with me. I believe to this day, the guy that did it was a black E-8 named Master Sergeant, Senior Master Sergeant Heisen. And I believe he was saved, but I never got a chance to ask him to transfer him before I got a chance to talk to him. But he confined me to quarters. And I spent about 6 weeks. I did not go to work. I didn't show up. I still drew a paycheck. That was the mercy of God. They had every right to kick me out. They could have walked in the house and threw me out of the military. But God. And so I just went off to the parties. I got worse. But then that Saturday, I sat there that whole day in the mall. The guards came to me at 9 o'clock. They said, you got to leave. Huh? What? They said, you got to leave. I said, why I got to leave? They said, we're closing this place down, man. You got to get out. You're the last one in here, man. You got locked up. I said, okay. So I walked out. I couldn't find my car. I couldn't remember where I left it. I walked around the parking lot, finally found my car. I got in the car and I drove home, went through the front gate. And my house was just go through the front gate, hang right like that, about one block over, and there was my house. Drove in the driveway, parked the car, got in, went inside, got ready for bed. About 10 o'clock, I crawled into bed. I was one miserable soul. I laid down that bed. I'm laying flat on my back, looking up, and boy, I'm just hot tears coming out my eyes, filling my ears. And I remember just clear as a bell saying, God, there's got to be a better way. And sure as I'm sitting here, the sweet Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, there is, if you'll get out of this bed and pray. So I got out of my bed and I said, God, I'm not a praying man. I'm not a church-going man. I'm not a religious man. But I said, God, I know this. I'm a wicked man. And it's my fault that my family's in the shape it's in. It's my fault that the Air Force is about to kick me out. It's my fault that I'm confined to quarters. It's my fault. And I just went down the list of everything I could think of as it came out of my heart. I said, God, it's my fault. And I said, God, if there's any way you can take me and make something out of me, here I am. I'll go your way. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. But please, help. And from my heart, man, that was it. That's all I wanted was God's help. I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea that, amen, what that all was repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul prayed there in Damascus, on the Damascus Road, that's all he said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Boy, what a change. Well, I woke up Sunday morning, 7 o'clock, never had in 6 months. Unless I had, before that, even if I had an alarm clock. People living the life I live, brother, we didn't get up at no 7
that's
o'clock
right,
on
no
Sunday
way.
Morning.
Nope.
I woke up 7 o'clock Sunday morning, and first time in my life, in my heart, I wanted to go to church.
Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Thank
and
you.
And the sweet Holy Ghost of God spoke to my heart and said, you need to go to church. I laid on that bed and I said, Lord, you know, where I come from, they always said that if I went into the church house, the rafters would creak and fall in.
Yeah.
And I could almost see the Lord just smiling, saying, son, don't worry about it. You'll be okay. Go ahead and go.
Yeah.
Then I said this. I said, God, I don't know where to go. It's almost like, duh. Remember that fellow? The Lord said, remember that fellow? He gave you that little piece of paper. I didn't know it was called a gospel tract. He gave that little piece of paper, and you put it in that drawer out there in the kitchen. Go out there and get it. So I went out there and got it. It was the one Ford Porter wrote. Pink on the front. Cross. God's simple plan of salvation. Picture the preacher, the church address, and phone number up front. So I called the number, and the pastor was there at 8 o'clock Sunday morning. He said, told him who I was. You know, they had 400 people in that church, and he could remember my two little bus girls. Oh, yeah. He said, you had two little bus girls coming, a redhead and a blonde. He said, how are they doing? Where are they at? I said, well, they're up with their mom right now. Oh, okay, well, here's how you get here. So I went. Man, I'll tell you what, I got in that day, and ain't been out since.
Amen. Yes, sir. Hey.
And I don't want to.
Amen.
The best thing I ever found was when I gave my life to Jesus Christ.
Hey. Yes, sir.
And that night, the preacher spent all day Sunday with me. All day. We didn't call out for food back then. They didn't have too much delivery. Maybe a pizza joint. We didn't call out for food. All day we spent in the office. He took that black King James Bible and showed me how I'd failed in my marriage, how I'd failed at my job, how I'd failed in life, how I'd failed God. And he said, here's what you do.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you, I went home. And he didn't say nothing about my drinking. He didn't know I was a drunk. He didn't say nothing about my dope. He didn't know I was a dopehead. He didn't say nothing about anything about me other than, this is where you failed. And I looked at him, I said, how do you know so much about me? He said, I don't. He said, what that book does.
Yes, it
does.
Yeah.
A book knows me?
Mm-hmm.
He said, that book knows all about you. I said, whoa. He said, but here's the good point. He said, the blood of Jesus Christ still cleanses
that's
from all
cure,
sin.
Brother, yeah.
He said, so no matter what you've done, the blood will take care of it. Mm-hmm. He said, you can get it cleaned up, washed away, just walk on with God. And leave it behind you. I said, whoa. I went home Sunday night after church. As I was putting the key in the door, turning the knob, the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. He said, all that junk you got in there has got to go. As I opened the door, he said, the bottles, the cans, the bags, the boxes, it's all got to go. And I knew exactly what he was saying. I went to every hiding place. I flushed the dope down the john. I threw the bags inside of the baggies inside of a bag. I took the beer cans, I poured them down the drain, I threw them in a garbage bag, the same garbage bag. I took all the liquor bottles, got them out of the cabinet, poured them down the drain, put the liquor bottles in the bag. I tied that bag off, got another bag, put it in there, tied that off, and I drove it to the flat iron and put it in a dumpster on the flat iron. Because I didn't want to put it out in the front yard and have one of the neighbors drive by and think that a drunken bum lived there. I want to know, there's a saved man living here now. There's a Christian living here now. I'm going to live for God. Man, I'm telling you. Man, the neighbors, they got hold of it almost immediately. I mean, next Monday morning, man, I saw one of them on my way to work. What happened to you? I got to work. The guys that I went to work, they said, what happened to you? Because they had seen me. I had a red afro. I was United States Air Force, but I had a red afro. I got a black guy taught me how to tuck it down. So when I had to go to a official function, if I did, I tucked it down. I got it all tucked in where it was within regulations. But then the problem was, last 3 weeks or so, I didn't go nowhere, but the party, I grew a beard. And I managed, it's just scruffy looking, I just, you know. So I shaved, got a haircut. I mean, 6 o'clock, there, outside the front gate was a barbershop that opened at 6. I went out there, I was standing at 6 o'clock waiting at the door to get a haircut. I walked in there and I went like that, and I told the guy, I said, give me a real haircut. Because I had my uniform on. He looked at me, he looked at Harry, and he said, yeah, you need one. I think the guy was whistling Dixie while he was cutting, too. He cut that hair down. I went to work. Showed up 7 o'clock, shaving, haircut, I mean, within regulations all the way. And this time I wasn't cheating. I wasn't doing any of this. It was all cut and fit and rate. They all looked at me and they said, what happened? I said, well, I got a haircut. I shaved. No. That ain't it. What do you mean? What do you mean what happened to me? Something happened to you. You ain't the same Cliff Taylor we saw. We knew. What happened to you? Inside. You see, all those gifts that God wants to put in you and in me are to display Him.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, they can see it.
That's right. Yeah.
Whether you want to or not, they can see it. I just looked at him, I said, all I can tell you is, I got saved. A couple of them said, I knew it, I knew something happened to you. One of them said, whoa, turn around, walk away. Got religion, man, don't preach to me.
Don't
go there,
please. That's right.
You ask, I just answer.
Yeah.
That's the way it's been ever since.
Sure.
I've had people walk up to me and say, excuse me, are you a preacher? Excuse me, are you saved? Would you pray for me? And I never said a word. Why? Because God just put something in there. And if you'll just let God do it, let God work, and He'll use you to reach others. And all you got to do is go along for the ride. Really. Just be where God wants you to be when your appointment is there. Show up. And then just let God give you that little gift of wisdom to say what needs to be said or do what needs to be done. And the rest is history, man. God does the work. And it's wonderful.
Thank you.